Yeah.
When it comes to Maxxine Dupri and Natalya, they look good as a tag team, and it looked like they're trying to tell that story that's like, because when their team lost, Maxxine Dupri took the pin, and it was only because she was trying to do that stupid worm, the backwards Otis worm that she does, or that she took from Otis, and she hit it on both Bayley and Lyra at the same time. But then after that, they pinned her, and Natalya was standing there looking at her like, "What the fuck are you doing?" So yeah. that real life thing, that real life greenness that Maxxine Dupri has, it looks like they're gonna try to do something with that. I don't know, maybe we'll see. But yeah, I just don't understand. This is the last thing I'm gonna say. Tommy, you mentioned at least Lyra is gonna wear the belt at WrestleMania. Why is that so important to people? Why is it so important for those two titles to be seen on WrestleMania, on TV at WrestleMania? What difference does that even fucking make?
And they're brand new.
What?
It's the grandest stage of them all, where most of the eyes are going to go. Like, it's the biggest show of the year, and these two are the brand new titles. They are in their first year run.
All right, I just,
it's about setting a precedent, Snug. If you don't have them on the card, you're basically telling the audience not to care about them, because you've already spent the last 8 months that they've been active telling the entire world, hey, they don't matter. They only mattered when we showed them to you and when we crowned the first champions, and we haven't booked anybody in any stories regarding them at all since we brought them in that mattered. And now we're not even going to have them on the biggest show of the year, the first time that they would be active titles when the big show is here. You're basically telling us, hey, these might as well be the Divas Championship. Doesn't matter. Like, and that sets a precedent for, well, then why do we as fans ask for shit if you're going to give it to us in the most watered down way you can? You just gave it to us to shut us up, not because you wanted to actually help your women's division feel more fresh and fleshed out, which they deserve to be.
Do they?
So it's just a precedent setter. It feels off as, then why make them at all if you weren't ever going to book them properly, care who you put them on, tell stories with them, and then still leave them off your big main card? It one after the other, it's a domino effect of, we just never gave a shit. We just wanted to shut you up. And that's how it feels.
And that's what they're doing. That's what it is. Because just look at what happened tonight with Chelsea Green and Zelina Vega. Like, again, we've talked about this before. People have been complaining about Chelsea Green's United States title run, how it's been boring, because it has been. They haven't set up Chelsea Green in, like, anything relatively interesting, like, at all. Like, right now, she's feuding with Zelina Vega, and their match ended like in a shitty ass count out tonight that looked weird and awkward. It's just like, I don't want to see that at WrestleMania. I'm sorry, no, I mean, but honestly, I don't.
What they should have done from the start to make those titles feel so good, and this is a hypothetical because we couldn't get Becky back, but if Becky would have been back in time so she could have feuded with that title against Lyra, and if not Becky, Bayley in a properly told story, now you have one of the four horsewomen who's a top level main event act going for the mid card title to make it have eyes on it, make it feel important. And then when Charlotte came back, you shouldn't have had Charlotte win the Rumble. You should have had Charlotte go for the US title and make that feel prestigious and important. And it would set a precedent. These big names from up here are coming for these titles because, hey, we've never won those before.
That's what I thought was going to happen. That's what I thought was going to happen. I would have been down to see that. Yeah.
And the sad part is that we can sit here as, you know, podcasters and amateur journalists here telling it, and we can come up with that. Why didn't they?
Tommy, you have something to add?
Like, especially with the Intercontinental, you were saying, okay, like, who should we put it on? How about Natalya? Her entire family has a massive connection to the Intercontinental specifically. Let her have the Intercontinental for a little bit.
I wanted Sonya Deville to win that one. And,
I did too.
And then they fired her. Or they didn't fire her. They released her, I should say.
They should have put one of those titles on Zoe Stark or Shayna Baszler or Sonya Deville. And those girls could have done like open challenges. Just like Seth and just like John Cena did. It would have really kept those titles fresh in people's minds weekly.
And it's nothing against
for this great match.
And it's nothing against Lyra. Like Lyra, she's great in the ring, but
she's trying. She's doing that's what sucks. She's doing the best she can with what they're giving her, and it's crap.
But I wanted Sonya Deville to win it because Sonya Deville, she's more presentable. Like she cuts a better promo. She, you know, she has more attitude.
People forget that Sonya carried the women's division in the first part of the pandemic era of wrestling. They forget her awesome feud with Mandy Rose and how good she is on the mic. Her character work is insane.
Yeah, when she was in that position too.
It pissed me off because they released Sonya Deville, but B-Fab had a match last week. Like, you know what I'm saying? So it's one, and I'm not saying I want anybody to lose their job, but I'm saying where's the thought process here on the creative? Like, what's going on? Because this isn't the Triple H that we were knowing and loving a year ago. Not even 6 months ago.
All right, I think we spent a little bit too much time on this Women's Gauntlet match. Let's talk about Drew McIntyre. Okay, I'm going to say it like this. For the people that have been hating on the buildup for WrestleMania, these matches shouldn't be on WrestleMania. Oh, these people should be on WrestleMania. Oh, this, that, and the other. This WrestleMania sucks. We are literally about to watch Drew McIntyre versus the fucking Undertaker at WrestleMania. And we're sitting here complaining about the WrestleMania buildup. The Phenom himself versus Drew McIntyre at WrestleMania, people. It's going to be fucking awesome. And you guys are over here hating on WrestleMania. This is going to be one hell of a match, you guys. I can't wait to see it. Damn, no one's going to correct me or nothing?
If you couldn't tell, I was smacking my camera with my bracelet.
I'll be extremely brief on my thoughts with Drew versus Damian.
All right, hold on. Hold that thought. Hold on, because before you say anything, let me set it up for everyone, because Blood... I want to know where you got your sources from that Drew McIntyre was not happy with this feud, because
it was reported by PW Insider and the Wrestling Observer the weekend of the Royal Rumble. He got pissed off in the Rumble when LA Knight messed up his spot that was supposed to set up his feud with Damian, and he was furious that his WrestleMania direction was going to be that of doing a match with Damian without a title because he had a career best year last year, and he was furious about it. And those are the ports backstage where he was angry, throwing stuff, and stormed out of the building the night of the Rumble.
Well, after this segment, after this promo that we saw tonight, I can't wait to see this match now, because not only did Drew McIntyre take out Damian Priest with the steel steps, he attacked him on his way to the ring. He did a shock DDT on the steel steps. He snatched his chain. It was personal.
Damian sold the shit out of it.
Drew McIntyre revealed that his eye is not damaged. He's 100%. And my favorite part about all this was the promo. Drew McIntyre, in a few short words, pretty much hyped up this match for me by saying this is a year in the making. Damian Priest has benefited over me getting screwed over time and time again, which is true. Drew McIntyre got screwed over by CM Punk. Damian Priest swoops in. He cashes in on Drew, and he wins the title off of Drew McIntyre. And it kind of just gives you like a – he gave us like a refresher of what has been going on with Drew McIntyre, what he's been complaining about this whole time. You know, people say that, oh, Drew McIntyre complains. He complains about this. Yes, and this is what he's been complaining about, and this is Drew McIntyre's time to get his revenge on Damian Priest after all of that. And I believe this is going to be a street fight too, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it's going to be a Las Vegas Strip street fight. Sin City street fight.
A Las Vegas Strip fight. They're going to be stripping each other blood?
I was just in Vegas in February last year too. It's possible. I saw some things. But look, I'll make my thoughts on this match extremely brief. I think both of these guys deserve to be on the WrestleMania card. They both had great years last year. They both had some solid shit running up in the beginning of this year. These guys deserve to be on Mania. These guys have worked their asses off in the last year. Damian especially has really, really come into his own in the singles division. And I'm so fucking proud of him. Drew has been gold. He carried an entire feud 90% on his own last year with Punk. And it culminated in the greatest fucking Hell in a Cell match of all time, in my opinion. But when it comes down to it, I feel like these guys deserved a bit better, more coherent storytelling. Because if I'm being honest, if I try to think back to even the Rumble to now, I'm blanking on majority of the stuff that's even happened in this feud. It is a year in the making. Had they been telling the story longer than what only feels like a handful of weeks, on and off, by the way. For me, I want to see the match because I want to see these guys go at it. Because I know Damian can do a street fight. We saw that with Bad Bunny. And we know Drew's going to bring it. So all in all, my final thoughts, I'm really excited for it just because I'm so proud of these two. So proud of these two that they deserve to be on WrestleMania in any capacity, even if it's not the way that they maybe hoped. I'm so glad they're at least getting the spotlight because these guys, they were some of the big MVPs of 2024, man, and they deserve that spot. So I'm here for it. I'm not hating on it. I am here for it.
Toxic.
Super excited for this match. More so the work that Damian's going to put in because Damian always does good on street fights. Bad Bunny, Backlash 2023, I'm pretty sure. Yeah. Correct me if I'm wrong. The second, I want to say second Raw on Netflix with Finn Balor. Dope-ass street fight. So Damian always does, I'm excited for this because Damian always does street fights well. Sometimes he messes up a lot, but I like his work in street fights. I just had one other comment about Drew McIntyre. I don't know why I was thinking about this, but Drew McIntyre looks like Captain Hook on that special on that special white powdered donut sugar. We're probably getting canceled more than we already are.
Yeah, thanks for that. Tommy.
No problem.
So, I have two thoughts on this. One, I'm happy these two are going at it. I really am. But my issue is the stipulation. Why the hell are we having street fights on literally every major city you go to?
Because why the fuck not?
Yeah, but it gets annoying after a little bit. Two. Oh, McIntyre, McIntyre, McIntyre. I love you. Really do. Can you stop it with the fucking jewelry? First it was Punk's bracelet. Now it's going to end up being Damien's necklace? Stop it with the jewelry. Just quit.
We got ourselves a klepto.
Just quit it with the jewelry altogether. Just stop it. We don't need your next feud to be over a ring. Stop it. That's it.
Well, I would ask BT, but I don't know where he went.
Sorry about that. My mother just popped out the front door. All right. Jesus Christ. Haven't run fast like that in years. All right, so what was the question?
We were talking about Damian Priest and Drew McIntyre, the build, the segment that they did tonight for their match at WrestleMania.
Okay, brilliant. I'm very excited for the Drew versus Damian match. The feud, the segment, I really don't give a fuck about because I'm just excited for the match overall. So, something that Mr. Blood said, Drew and Damian were definitely the MVPs of 2024. You cannot mention 2024 without the shit that Drew and Damian did. Drew versus CM Punk. Easily the best feud of the summer. Best feud of 2024. The greatest feud in WWE. Like, debate me on that. Like, Damian Priest was put up against very big names when it comes to his world championship run. He had a hell of a run with that title. He beat names like Seth Rollins, even Drew McIntyre at Clash at the Castle. So you could tell Triple H had some very high faith in him, you know? So, but yeah, as soon as the Royal Rumble came in earlier this year, I knew without a shadow of a doubt that Drew and Damian were going to have a match at WrestleMania. They had to, because the story is there. All the screw-ups, all of the animosity between each other, and the revenge that Drew never got. And if Drew doesn't beat Damian, it is a crime against humanity. It is. It's a crime to not have Drew go over, because he fucking deserves it. All the times that he should have gone over, part of me believes that he should have beaten CM Punk at Bad Blood. But at the end of the day, we can't change that. So this is to make up for that, those losses. And I think Drew deserves a hell of a lot more. So, but both men have definitely had amazing years. And when it comes to Damian, his rivalry with the Judgment Day, fucking amazing. So I'm very excited for this feud.
So I'm afraid you're right, BT. I think that, and I hate to say that because I'm a huge Damian Priest fan, and I would love to see him get his WrestleMania moment, but let's not forget, WrestleMania is the end of a lot of feuds, but it's also the beginning of a lot of feuds. If Damian Priest were to beat Drew McIntyre, that will set Drew McIntyre off, and that could be the start of an even bigger feud for Drew McIntyre and Damian Priest, which I think would be interesting to see. But we'll see what happens. Let's move on here because I want to talk about Cody Raheem Rhodes. He was on SmackDown, and he had all these championships lined up in the middle of the ring. The very old championships, the Winged Eagle Championship, I can't remember the names, but all the world titles from over the years, including, you know, the spinner belt.
Undisputed that was there, like the original Undisputed. I know there was the super old one. There was the Winged Eagle, both versions of the Winged Eagle.
Such an ugly ass belt. I'm sorry. No, that's nice, Mr. Blood. That's real cute. Anyway.
I remember for the life of me what the sixth one was, but there was six there.
So, Cody Rhodes, I'm sorry, but the people that hate on Cody Rhodes' promo saying he's boring and he's stale, I got really fired up for this promo. Cody Rhodes was reminding everyone what John Cena was saying about him, how John Cena called Cody Rhodes the common fan. That neck tattoo, that ugly tattoo on your neck, that just makes you look like a common fan. And Cody Rhodes had a lot to say about that. Cody Rhodes fired back and said, hey, look, This tattoo, this suit, this makes me feel like I'm somebody. And then Cody Rhodes went down the line, started naming all the champions that held this belt, including Brock. I'm pretty sure Cody Rhodes mentioned Brock Lesnar on WWE TV, which hasn't been done in a really long time. And then he mentioned Eddie Guerrero with the Undisputed title. And then he goes over to the spinner belt and he says, including John Cena. John Cena, I'm not just a common person. I'm not just a common fan. I'm the WWE champion. You are not. Which Cody Rhodes went on by saying he does his best work when his back is against the wall. When he, you know, all odds are against Cody Rhodes. And not only that, he's not only the champion, but he's also the captain. Cody Rhodes is a captain of a super stacked WWE roster in today's era. You know, Roman, Kevin, Rhea, all these people he started naming. Cody Rhodes has a good point. He's not the common man. John Cena, he's going to have his hands full at WrestleMania. But I really enjoyed this promo, and I'm excited for this match, you guys. Let's go with you first, BT. What did you think about the promo here with Cody?
I'm going to be honest. I fell asleep during it.
Not expecting you to say that at all, but okay.
I was bored during it. I'm sorry, but Cody is just getting to that point where his character is getting very stale. He is. And John Cena, I'm just begging that you take that title off of him. I am.
Well, damn, there goes my fucking setup.
One second, he can hold his own against John Cena. He can. He can hype up the crowd. But it's the way his energy in his promos that just doesn't fit right with me. His energy, and he's too much of a gentleman. He is. Like, that shit, if he was to come out in a suit, he'd be a despicable heel. Like, I would want a heel to come out in a suit and act so despicable, so fluent with his wording. He was built to be more of a heel. He's way better as a heel. I'm just waiting for that one heel turn that could just change the landscape. And I know that John Cena's heel turn has done that, but Cody, what a way to do what that would blow millions of people's minds. But anyway, yeah, I fell asleep during this segment, so I didn't actually get to hear a lot of it. I wasn't able to finish the clips because of how fucking boring it was. But, John, please beat his ass, please.
Jesus. All right. Tommy, help me out here, Tommy. Please tell me I'm not the only one that enjoyed this.
You're not. Okay. You are seriously not. Although.
Oh, here we go.
That the title choices were very, very interesting. Because, yes, the spinner belt was there. But the universal title was not there. Like, none of the logo titles, other than the spinner, were there. None of them that looked like the current Undisputed were there.
I think the universal title is more like the world heavyweight title over on Raw now.
Yeah, but still, you would still think.
No, it was done on purpose that way because they unified those belts to give Roman the super title. That is now the goal.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah,
that is true.
Yeah.
Although seeing the Scratch logo again would have been really cool up there.
The Scratch logo is on the spinner belt, Tommy. Tommy, the Scratch logo is on the spinner belt.
Yeah, all right.
Right. Okay. My brain. But you're not wrong here, Snug. I loved it because it truly felt like he was putting his entire soul into this. And I'm pretty sure I am not the only one in this group that thinks Cody is absolutely carrying this feud on his shoulders. Cena's not really doing anything here.
I haven't really thought about that. That could be true. I haven't thought about that yet.
Like, Cena has appeared, like, what? 3 times?
Sounds about right.
While Cody is here week after week after week giving out these promos, although they started off a little bit janky, but by the end of it, they are getting me hyped for this. And once again, I don't know who's going to win this. Like, at first, I was like, oh yeah, it's going to be Cody all the way. Mm-hmm. But now, I look at it, because Cena has put out a few good promos too, where I just don't know who's going to win this.
Toxic.
I did want to correct, I don't know who said it, but yes, Cody did mention Brock, but it wasn't whenever he was talking about the titles. It was like, I told Roman, I told Brock, whatever else he said. But yeah, I was just correcting one thing. Snug, I'm with you 100%. I loved this. I don't understand the hate on Cody's promos. I do not understand it whatsoever. Love his promos and everything he does. Love them. This one, I don't know. It felt different. It felt like we got a whiff of like the people who experienced those people who won the championship at those times got that small whiff of nostalgia, like Eddie Guerrero. Rest in peace. I don't remember the other two. Bum-ass John Cena. And he didn't even get to the last one, did he? I don't even... Yeah, so... It was... This one felt special to me, even though I'm not that old. No offense to Blood and Snug, but yeah.
Fuck you. All right, go ahead, Mr. Blood.
Yeah, I second that one. Fuck you. I can feel my kneecap and my right leg turning to dust. But I actually do have a slight tear in my meniscus. But as far as concerned, again, I don't understand the Cody hate on his promos either. And you know what I think it is the problem with most people when it comes to Cody? He spent the majority of his career as a heel. So most people prefer him as a heel because that's what they're mostly familiar with. He spent majority of his time in WWE as a heel. When he left to go to the Indies, he became a super heel and even joined, I'm blanking for no reason here, the group Kenny Omega.
The Bullet Club.
The Bullet Club. And so he was a heel there. And, you know, it's one of those things where people are starting to see him as that. People got tired of the Cody-verse in AEW, right? Where it just seemed like every single feud had to revolve around him and everything felt so cut off from everything. But in WWE, I don't understand the hate for his feuds because or for his promos because when I hear him talk, honestly, he's a better talker than Roman. You know, he's a better talker than I would say in certain aspects and he gets really, really fired up. He's a better talker than Kevin Owens, better talker than Sammy, better talker than Jay, better talker than Gunther. I'd say he's when he's fired up, he's on par with Drew. But like, you know, when it comes down to it, when I hear people say, oh, he can't cut promos, he can't this. No, he can very much cut promos. You hear the reactions in the arenas, right? He pops the crowds every time. And people are like, he can't cut a promo. Dude literally went toe-to-toe with John Cena in a full-blow back-and-forth promo battle just a week and a half ago and didn't blink. You know all the people who did blink in promos to John Cena? Roman Reigns is the most recent one that comes to mind. Austin Theory, freaking, like, I mean, he damn near dug Austin Theory's grave for him and then told him to walk in. Like, people don't understand. There are different types of traumas.
Tried to change his voice, but failed to do that.
Yeah, there are different types of promos. Cody has the promos where he's unhinged, like when he was cutting that promo against Kevin Owens several months back, when he was furious and it sounded like his voice, he had like lost his voice, but he was enraged. When he cut promos last year against The Rock and Roman Reigns, he was on point. You know, the when they did the whole promo, like the pre-whatever, and he smacked The Rock, or The Rock slapped him in the face, or whatever the hell it was. Or he smacked The Rock. Like Cody can cut promos. I don't get it. And when it came to this, he cut an excellent promo from the heart. He took you through the history of these titles, from Bruno Sammartino to Eddie to Guerrero to John Cena. You know, like, these titles were held by fucking future Hall of Famers or current Hall of Famers. And he's in that class. It's not often you get a champion that holds a championship, a world championship in professional wrestling and WWE for a year. Cody is about to hit a year. Okay? It's not often that happens. People are like, well, it's only a year. It's not that much. Dude, it's 365 fucking days. Punk only held it for, you know, half a year after that. And Punk was hailed as one of the greatest champions of the modern era at one point. You know, it's not like everybody can be Roman Reigns and hold that motherfucker for almost 4 years straight. It's not like everybody can be Gunther and they don't have anybody that they built up to be a viable person to take it off of him at 666 days. And we're not in the ages of Bruno Sammartino anymore, or Bob Backlund, or any of those guys, where you hold the title for fucking 10 years because you only wrestle fucking 10 times to 12 times a year. You know, it's not the same schedules anymore. Cody has put in the time. He's put in the work. He's a great champion. Even though there are parts of his character that feel stale, I feel like most people, and no offense to BT, but I feel like most people who say that Cody's boring and stale are just the internet wrestling community that are crying constantly that they just want a Cody Rhodes heel turn. We just want Homelander Cody. And it's like, dude, he's the face of the company. He can't be Homelander Cody right now. They haven't built up anybody else to usurp him from being the face of the company in a full-fleshed babyface role where it would make sense to fucking pull him. Keep in mind, people are like, well, Roman Reigns was the face of the company as a heel for 4 years, man. We already had a heel face of the company for years, okay? Years. It was time to have the return of the babyface face of the company. And people are just so used to having Roman run everything that they find Cody boring. And that's not on him. It's just because the Bloodline story was so great, right? That it's a hard act to follow, you know, post that, to come up with any kind of story that could even come close to matching that magnitude. So it's not that Cody is boring. It's not that the stories around him are boring. It's that we got spoiled with the Bloodline for a long time. And in getting spoiled, we got desensitized to what John Cena's era that preceded that Bloodline story was really like, where John Cena was the penultimate babyface, white tooth, white meat, grinning all the time, with some tweener personality traits every now and again, running shop. But even there were times where John Cena wasn't the champion, but the dude was still the forefront of the company. You back then, you could put that title on anybody but John, and John was still the biggest star. And that says a lot. It's a tough act to follow. But somehow Roman followed it. He is not the champion anymore. He's not been the champion in 1 year. But every time he comes back, he's the biggest deal in the company. It'll be the same thing for Cody. But people just got to be patient and keep letting them do these things with Cody. If Cody loses this title at Mania, people are going to cheer for him and love him again because they're going to miss him chasing. Okay? And that's what it is. People just miss him chasing. That's really what I think it comes down to. They just want to see him fighting the uphill battle again because Cody's supposed to be the underdog, not the guy on top. That's what people got turned so sour on John Cena for. He was supposed to be the underdog, but he kept being the guy on top. It's the same thing. It's history repeating itself. But now you look at it and everybody misses John. Everybody loves John. Everybody's sad to see John go, right? It'll be the same thing for Cody. So I'm excited for this build. I think this match is going to be the best match John Cena's pulled out, probably since him versus AJ or him versus Roman, because aside from his solo Sokoa shit, the tag shit with The Miz and R-Truth and the shit with him and Austin Theory, this will be the first time in many years for John Cena where the match that he's in has the highest stakes. He's in there with a guy who is going to make him look insane, that he's going to keep up with. And I think we're getting a sleeper classic here between these two. Because AJ Styles versus John is one of the greatest matches I've ever seen come out of John Cena's career. His match against Roman, one of the greatest matches I've seen come out of his career. Both of them. So for me, I think that for all the haters, just sit back and watch what happens next week. I think you're going to really be surprised that John Cena is going to show up to actually play this time. This isn't going to be John Cena versus Austin Theory 2. No, no, no. This is going to be the old face that ran the place against the champ that runs the current camp. And I think we're in here for a fucking banger to end all WrestleMania bangers. And that's not even mentioning whatever secrets and quiet shit they're holding close to the vest for that main event around that booking, like they did last year where every Avenger fucking assembled. So, I mean, I think this is going to be awesome. I think Cody has been building a lot of the feud by himself, but we haven't mentioned something here. This is the first time we've had confirmation when it was originally reported that John Cena's schedule, his last scheduled appearance was the Monday before last until Mania. They just confirmed tonight he will be at Friday Night SmackDown on the Go Home SmackDown next week because he's probably going to be at the Hall of Fame ceremony. So he will be on SmackDown next week so we can see what the Go Home angle looks like. So this isn't over yet. We still have one hot angle to churn out here. People are being impatient. Let him cook.
Yeah, the SmackDown next week is also in Vegas. So, I mean, I don't see why John wouldn't be there. They're both going to be on the same city. But, yeah, we still got time. But other than that, for this Friday night SmackDown, we saw the DIY and the Pretty Deadly backstage. By the way, I just want to add, the DIY... I mentioned this earlier during the stream, Tommy and Toxic, you guys probably already know what I'm going to say, but the Pretty Deadly are a lot more cooler than the DIY now, officially. I'm just like, the DIY are just fucking jokes now, they're clowns, and Pretty Deadly are standing there laughing at them, who was previously, the Pretty Deadly were the jokes, they were the clowns. But now they're standing there looking way more cooler, way more collected than the DIY. I'm sorry, but what the fuck? But that's the tag team division.
DIY has not been cool since NXT. Let's be real.
We also had Berto versus Rey Fénix. Rey Fénix is officially 2-0 on his WWE record. But this match with Berto was fucking amazing. Berto made Rey Fénix look really good. And I also made this comparison earlier, and I want everyone to hear it. To me, Berto is a future single star. I think I've been a huge fan of Humberto Carrillo since I can remember, since he got to the WWE. And to me, especially after seeing him tonight, he is the Mexican Montez Ford in the WWE. And I'm talking about Humberto Carrillo. That fool is fucking amazing. He's got the look, he's got the size, he's got the in-ring ability, everything. We also saw Tiffany Stratton versus Roxanne Perez, which Tiffany Stratton won this match. This was just a way to put Tiffany over to make her look good before her match at WrestleMania. Roxanne, she's a good worker. You know, it was a safe bet here for Tiffany to win the match versus Roxanne. But then Charlotte Flair attacked Tiffany Stratton after the match, but not only after the match, before the match, Charlotte Flair, there was videos going around the internet before SmackDown even started. Charlotte Flair attacking Tiffany Stratton in the parking lot. Charlotte Flair attacked Tiffany Stratton after the after their match. All kinds of crazy shit happened. After all the reporting that happened with these two from last week, Charlotte Flair... she got the upper hand on Tiffany Stratton tonight. But other than that, fellas, anything else you guys want to add about this Friday night SmackDown before we get out of here? All right, I think we're good then. With that being said, that was Friday night SmackDown, April 11th. My name is Zedigram, the host of Snub. My name is Edgar. I'm the host of Snug Wrestling. Thank you, Blood. Thank you, Toxic, Tommy, and BT Knight. And we will see you guys very, very soon. Have a great night, everyone.
Four letters.
Yeah.
One word.
Yeet.
No. Yeet.